Well, you find me anyone outside of Christ who can say words like that. What a great thing it is to know God through Jesus Christ. Well, please have your Bibles open, 1 Kings chapter 18, as we continue. I want to talk this evening on the subject of faithful in adversity. How can we be faithful in adversity? Because surely adversity will come your way as a Christian believer. On top of all the things that face everybody in this sinful world, you will sometimes face adversity because you're a Christian believer. How can we be faithful? Let me remind you that Elijah lived in a world of terrible sin and wickedness. It may sometimes seem that God has abandoned the world and that all godly witness is being lost. But God has never let that happen, and he never will. Even though there is apparently, in Elijah's day, just one man in the midst of an entire nation. That actually wasn't the case, but it must have seemed that way at times to Elijah. Just one small light shining in the midst of this dreadful darkness, but shining nonetheless. And Elijah made a huge impact for his God upon his country and upon the people of his generation. What about you and I? Will you? What impact will you have for God? What desire is in you to have an impact for God? Well, if that's a desire that's in your heart, you can learn some really helpful and encouraging lessons from the life of Elijah, and I believe we can from this passage this evening. And I want to break it down into three simple sections with three very simple headings. And the first is this: prepared for trouble. If you're a Christian, you have to be prepared for trouble. Because often the Christian life is a life of trouble. We read in verse 10 of chapter 18 that Elijah is a wanted and a hunted man. For the last 3 years, Ahab has been sending out his men to every country he can think of where Elijah might be hiding in order that he can find him. The country is stricken with drought and famine, and the God of their nation has been abandoned for a false God, a God of fertility. But of course, this God has been absolutely powerless to do anything about it. One sentence spoken by Elijah, "In the name of the Lord God," has been sufficient for the rain to stop. And you'll remember that Elijah said to Ahab, "It will not rain again until I say so." And it hasn't rained, because up to now, Elijah hasn't said so. And Ahab is out for revenge. 3.5 years of pent-up frustration and hatred are in the heart of Ahab towards Elijah. And we see in Elijah's life that things don't necessarily get any easier. In verse 1 of chapter 18, God instructs Elijah that he's to go back to Ahab. And Elijah knows he must go. This king, who is completely powerful in every way, breathing fire and hatred towards him, he must go back and face him. You know, I think Elijah's heart must have sunk within him. How on earth is God going to get me through this one? Have you ever felt like that? I'm sure Elijah did, you know. We saw in chapter 17 that trouble came upon Elijah in a way about which he had no choice. It was just one of those circumstances that happens completely outside of your control. The widow's son falling sick and dying. That's one kind of trouble that a believer can experience sometimes. Just a circumstance that God suddenly brings about out of the blue. You don't expect it and you're just thrown into it. That's one kind of trouble. Perhaps you've experienced something like that. Maybe you haven't as yet, but you almost certainly will. And yet we saw that through that kind of trouble, in chapter 17, the Lord preserved Elijah and answered prayer. And the outcome was that both he and the widow, and I'm sure her son also, who'd been raised from death, were strengthened in faith. But now, an even more difficult trouble arises. Dear friends, don't ever think that things won't get harder in your Christian experience. You may think you've had your share of trouble, but it may be nothing compared to the things that you are yet to face. The Christian life has no promise attached to it that it will get easier as you get older. And yet, through our troubles, God will grow your faith, remind you of how dependent you are upon him, and prove himself again to you. Christian life doesn't get easier. If you think God's already asked you to do something hard, please realize that he may yet ask you to do something even harder. That's how it is for Elijah here. As God sends Elijah into the place of trouble, the circumstance isn't just going to happen. Elijah isn't just going to wake up one morning and the trouble's there. Elijah is in the position where he is going to have to consciously, willfully walk into that place of trouble. And God may sometimes ask you to do the same. Some of you perhaps are in situations right now, and that actually is how it feels. There's a particular place where you must go. There is a particular situation that you're facing, and it feels to you as if God is forcing you to walk into a place of known trouble, and you wish you didn't have to go there. You wish you didn't have to face it. But if you're to be an obedient believer, you know you must. Perhaps it's a situation where you know you're going to face great difficulty because you're a believer. Maybe great persecution, great ridicule. Maybe a very difficult decision that you're going to have to take in your place of work. Whatever it is. Well, Elijah can help us and show us how to deal with such circumstances in our Christian lives. We need to remember that if we're walking God's way, our troubles of yesterday, God can use to prepare us for our troubles of today. And our troubles of today, God can use to prepare us for our troubles of tomorrow. Your usefulness to God in the future may well depend upon how you're walking with him today. How are you walking? God's will isn't always easy. It isn't always even pleasant at times. But it's always best. God's will is always best. And you need to remember that God is far more concerned about your holiness than he is about your happiness. God reminds Elijah in verse 2 that his promise of no rain has held. But the rains are on their way. And Elijah, I'm sure, just in that one sentence, go present yourself to Ahab in verse 1, and I will send rain on the earth. And as Elijah makes his journey, he sees the famine and the drought all around him. And he's reminded, God is faithful. God is true to his word. And I'm sure that encouraged his soul as he made his way to Ahab. Elijah was a man prepared for trouble. And we need to be too. I wonder if you are. Are you growing, maturing, getting into God's word, plumbing its depths, seeking to get all the juices, all the nourishment that's there out of it to build you up and make you strong, so that when those times of trouble arise, you're prepared and God can use you and sustain you through them. Such a man was Elijah. And God needs Elijahs today. Prepared for trouble. What's the second lesson that we can learn from this part of God's word? Prospering amid wickedness. You see, Elijah probably did feel at times that he was the only believer left, but he wasn't. And we're introduced to one of them in verse 3. His name is Obadiah. Obadiah was in charge of the household of Ahab. He'd risen to a very senior position. Perhaps you can think of some of the other people in God's word who, in the face of a regime that was completely godless, rose to high positions of service. Think of Joseph. Think of Daniel. Well, here we have another man in a similar situation. His name might not be as well known as some of these others. He may not be revered in our thinking the way some of these others were. But I believe Obadiah is nevertheless a great man of God in the face of great wickedness. Prospering amid wickedness. Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Greatly. Well, things aren't going to get any easier for Elijah, and Obadiah is in the same position. He's a godly man. So godly is he, so concerned is he, that he's actually put his life on the line to save 100 of God's prophets. Now, let me tell you, 100 men take some feeding. If you've been here for a church lunch on a Sunday and seen how much food goes out on the tables to feed 100 people, Obadiah's had to do that every single day. This is some task this man's taken on. How on earth is he managing to do this without anybody finding out? This man is working right under Ahab's nose. And Ahab hasn't got a clue about what Obadiah is doing. Obadiah is a believer who's put his life on the line for the name of God and for the good of his people. That alone ought to be a great challenge to each one of us. What a great man he is. And he meets up with Elijah. And Elijah asks him to return to Ahab and tell him that he's coming to see him. Well, what a performance Obadiah kicks up in the following verses. He's absolutely beside himself. He almost goes into a rant. I'll go and tell him you're coming and you'll go and do another disappearing act, and he's looked everywhere. He can't find you. He'll find out about the prophets I've been hiding. I'm a dead man if you ask me to do this. Now, when you think of all that Obadiah has done so far, when you think of the great courage that this man has had, when you think of the boldness, the risks he's taken, and yet this thing now that Elijah is asking him to do, well, it seems to be the straw that Obadiah think is going to break his camel's back. Maybe you've had some things like that in your life too. This is going to be the last thing. This will be the thing that does me in. Well, Obadiah feels the same. He's in charge, after all, of the most wicked king Israel had known. And yet he prospers as a believer in the midst of great wickedness. Now, some Christians would like to make the excuse that the reason they're not making progress as a Christian is because, well, you don't understand my circumstances. You don't know the terrible conditions that I face. You don't know the awful opposition that I'm facing. That's why I'm not making much progress as a Christian. If you were in my shoes, you wouldn't have made much progress either. Well, from what we see of Obadiah, we realize that we can't use that as an excuse. Because Obadiah was in the midst of such terrible opposition and wickedness, and yet he greatly feared the Lord, and he remained faithful in the face of great wickedness. Perhaps you can imagine some people saying, Obadiah, what on earth is a godly man doing in a job like that? Let's remember, Ahab was possibly the most wicked king that Israel would ever have. His wife Jezebel was just dreadful. The regime that they put in place had this Baal worship at its core. The most brutal things were taking place, and Ahab was endorsing it. Godly prophets of the Lord put to death. Human sacrifice, the sacrifice of infants under the hand of this man. Obadiah, what on earth is a man of God doing in the midst of all that? How can you possibly justify working for such a man? How can you take his money to live? And yet there he is. And you see, even in the midst of great, great wickedness, God has a light shining in darkness. This man Obadiah has risen through the ranks, and Ahab has appointed him to be the chief of his household. I wonder why that was. Was it perhaps because although Ahab hated everything that Obadiah believed, was it perhaps that Ahab rejected and refuted everything that Obadiah might have said about the God that he loved and served? He could nevertheless see in Obadiah, in the midst of that great wickedness, a man of integrity. Perhaps that's the case. Maybe Ahab can actually see, here's one man who's actually not as bad as me. Here's one man who's not going to stab me in the back. Here's one man who's not going to let me down. Here is one man who's not going to do things for his own ends. Here is one man who's going to be honest and trustworthy, and I can put things in his hands and know that he will be honest with them. And perhaps even in the midst of the most awful wickedness, God sometimes raises up one believer, maybe just one, to shine as light in the midst of incredible darkness. Maybe you find yourself in the midst of incredible darkness. Maybe in the road where you live, there's all kinds of ungodliness going on around you, and you sometimes wonder, I really don't know that I can survive here much longer. Maybe in the place where you work, you're surrounded by people who are on the fiddle, on the make. They'll do anything, anything to get one up on the next person. Anything. And you think to yourself, I really don't know how much longer I can survive in a place like this. God needs people in the midst of great, great darkness to shine as light. Will you be that person, perhaps? And when people look at you, you stand out from the rest. And what we also see is that your circumstances don't have to hinder you in your spiritual growth and maturity. What was it that kept Obadiah in the midst of all that? He greatly, greatly feared the Lord. That's the kind of believer God needs. Do you? Do you greatly fear the Lord above everything else? You fear the Lord. Well, how do men like this actually cope? What's their secret? Well, they fear the Lord. I'm sure Elijah also remembered his own name. Remember what his name means? God is my strength. He remembered the Lord before whom he stands. He's used that phrase already in chapter 17. He uses it again in chapter 18. In verse 15, as he's speaking to Obadiah, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to Ahab today. Obadiah, just remember this with me. Regardless of who I stand before, I'm standing before God. And if I'm right with God, what can man do to me? That was Elijah. And when you've understood these truths like Elijah understood them, truths about the Christian life never being free from trouble, but that God is your strength, then you can live like Elijah too. What's the final thing that we can learn from this passage of many things? The final thing is proclaiming the truth. Proclaiming the truth. Elijah is a man who proclaims the truth. And you must present the truth clearly. Elijah speaks plainly and simply in language that everyone can understand. He puts his finger straight on the problem. Verse 21. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him." It's clear, you see, that most of the people, well, they haven't given up on God entirely. There's still some recognition there. But they believe they can have the best of both worlds. Can't be like that. Are you a Christian who's trying to have the best of both worlds? Are you trying to live with one foot in each camp? It can't be like that. Are you a Christian when you're here amongst us and not in your place of work or study? It can't be like that. There's no place for double-minded people. Elijah was not a double-minded man. Obadiah was not a double-minded man. And neither can we be. And Elijah proclaims the truth boldly and clearly. He explains the two simple positions that people have. And he says no more and no less than that. And so must we. Do you? Do people hear ever from your lips the simple truths of the gospel explained? Do people ever hear from your lips the two simple choices that they have. They either continue on a wide road which leads only to destruction, or they can repent of their sin and turn to Christ and have forgiveness and know God. Have any of your colleagues at work ever heard that from your lips? Any of your fellow students, have they ever heard that from your lips? Are you in a home where most of your family members aren't Christians? Maybe your mum and dad aren't believers. Maybe you've got brothers and sisters and they're not believers. Have they ever heard from your lips these simple truths clearly explained? Because Elijah was a man who simply proclaimed these simple truths. Clear, concise, and what an impact he has for God. And he does so with great boldness. He does so with great courage. One man, 850 prophets against him, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah. 850 against one. Great boldness, great confidence in his God. And he lays down this great challenge, story that we know so well, story that we'll be looking at in detail, of course, next week when we gather, if the Lord spares us all. But there he stands. What great lessons we can learn. We look around our land today, we see a nation which is just going further and further away from the Lord. We see a nation which is turning those things which not that long ago, in the living memory of many people here, were considered by the vast majority shameful things. And now they're being openly promoted all over the place. Such a similar situation to the situation that Elijah found himself in. Such a similar situation to the one that Obadiah found himself in. And yet here are these two men, godly, faithful believers, living their lives prepared for trouble, prospering in the midst of great wickedness, boldly proclaiming God's truth. Will you?